Welcome to Enclave On Air. I'm your host today, Jessica Hergert. Enclave On Air is a podcast from Enclave, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Enclave covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Shubham Pant, MD, an associate professor in the Departments of Investigational Cancer Therapeutics and Gastrointestinal Medical Oncology in the Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, to discuss the landscape of targeted therapy in pancreatic cancer. In our exclusive interview, Pant discussed the current role for germline and somatic testing in pancreatic cancer, examined the research landscape with PARP inhibitors, KRAS inhibitors, and other targeted agents, and shared his hope for the future of drug development in the field. Currently, what targeted therapies are available to treat patients with pancreatic cancer?
So pancreatic cancer is one of the most deadly cancers around, and we have a high mortality rate, and we are always looking for newer therapies. Unfortunately, we haven't had a lot of therapies in the past two decades, mostly with chemotherapy. But most recently, we've had an approval for patients who are BRCA1 or 2 germline mutant, and that's about 5 to 8% of pancreatic cancer patients. And for them, we have a target therapy with a PARP inhibitor called olaparib. And that was in the trial, which was called the POLO trial. In that, patients received FOLFIRINOX or some kind of platinum therapy for 4 months. And then they were randomized to olaparib versus placebo. And there was an improvement in progression-free survival, which was seen. On that basis, the FDA approved this therapy for patients with germline BRCA1 or 2 pancreatic cancer. And which was a great shot in the arm, because it's a form of targeted therapy that we could give the patients now a chemo break with.
What are some of the limitations of this agent in pancreatic cancer?
So targeted therapy in pancreatic cancer does have challenges in it. So when we do the genomic analysis or next gen sequencing, so that's a germline mutation, that's different. But the somatic mutations is what we see in the tumor. And in that, about 90% of these patients have something called a KRAS mutation. And that is a notoriously hard to target mutation. And the reason is because KRAS is like, it's like a shiny ball. You can't stick anything on it. There's no antibody. It doesn't have a good groove that we can stick anything on it. So it's highly challenging to target KRAS. In fact, it's been known for the longest time as the undruggable mutation. But recently we've had some successes in that also. There's a new KRAS G12C inhibitor. In fact, there are more than one, which have completed phase 3 clinical trials. Unfortunately, the one that they target, the KRAS G12C, is present only in 1% or less of pancreatic cancer patients. So even in KRAS, more than 80% are not KRAS G12C. And then amongst the 10% who are left, which are called the KRAS wild-type pancreatic cancer, in those actually, they are pretty genomically rich. That means they can have different mutations that we can use to target through target therapy. They haven't met approval, but definitely there are clinical trials available for this.
What is your current approach to germline genetic testing, and does it reflect the current ASCO guidelines that are recommended?
So germline testing for pancreatic cancer is definitely recommended, and we recommend it to all the patients who come in through the door, not just ones who have a family history, because we have seen these patients who do not have a family history also have germline mutations in BRCA1 and 2. And now because we have a therapy for it, we think that's something that should be done. Now the ASCO guidelines and NCCN guidelines actually do say that you should get germline testing for pancreatic cancer. So it's supported by two guidelines, not one. So it's very important. So at our center, patients coming through the door, we try to do germline testing for majority of them that can get germline testing done. So it's very important. It's almost like the standard of care in pancreatic cancer, that they get germline tested upfront for the patients who have metastatic disease.
What is the role of somatic testing in pancreatic cancer?
I think there is a role for somatic testing in this space. Because again, there are patients, you know, who are the 10% patients. Out of them, it's finding like a lot of needles in the haystack. So it's not one needle, but let's say if they're MSI high, then they can, that's 1% of pancreatic cancer patients, then they have access to one of the checkpoint inhibitors. If they have NTRK fusions, then they have access to one of the NTRK inhibitors. There are a few out there, larotrectinib, entrectinib. So again, you know, those they have a tissue agnostic approval with the FDA. So that can be there in pancreatic cancers. Again, you can have some patients with RET fusions. You can put them on clinical trials. Some can have BRAF mutations. Some can have something called NRG1 fusions. But you can have different mutations that you can use to target. Even with KRAS, which is 90%, we have now clinical trials to target KRAS, if not at the source, then downstream. So there are a lot of trials which can be available to patients. So, and the ASCO guidelines that I'm a part of, we highly recommended somatic testing for patients who are appropriate should be done so that we can find those targets or identify clinical trials for these patients.
What could the FDA approval of sotorasib mean for the treatment of patients with KRAS G12C mutant pancreatic cancer?
Yeah, so I think any addition is good for a pancreatic cancer patient because we have a dearth of options. I think more data, you know, would be needed. Now we have, in at least in pancreatic cancer patients, there were about 4 or 5 patients in the basket trial which were there. I think maybe combination trials could be the way to go. And we are designing some of them right now. And hopefully they should be, those trials should be launched in the next 2 to 3 months. So I think even if those patients might not have access to, let's say, the G12C inhibitors, which are on the market, maybe for colorectal or lung cancer, you know, they have more response in lung than colorectal. And there are other studies being done in colorectal in combination with cetuximab, other EGFR inhibitors. But I think we could at least find some trials for them because the trials are still running for those patients with the G12C, you know, with G12C mutations.
How do you envision targeted therapy fitting into sequencing?
That's a great question. I think for now, I think chemotherapy is here to stay for a little bit longer. I think there are different kinds of pancreatic cancer patients. So most of my clinic is, I see a lot of pancreatic cancer patients. And in that, I've seen there are a lot of different shades. It's not black or white. There are a lot of different shades essentially in the middle. That means there are patients who have metastatic disease stage 4, but they have really aggressive stage 4 disease and they have a poor, you know, survival is 4 to 6 months or maybe even less. And then some have kind of quote unquote indolent phase 4 disease, you know, lung only metastases, or who have oligometastatic disease. That means not so many metastatic sites. And those may benefit from target therapy going forward. So it just depends. I think we're just scratching the surface. You know, we're at the tip of the iceberg. We're just trying to find more and more therapies. But I think target therapy may be in combination with chemo, followed by chemo followed by target therapy as maintenance therapy. So we're trying to design trials in which we're trying to find, you know, inhibitors of KRAS in the maintenance phase. So you give chemo first, you kind of tumor debulk, and then you give the maintenance phase, or in the second or third line setting. I think those are all very possible.
Now, with regard to emerging targeted options or ongoing clinical trials, what are you really keeping your eyes on?
So I will split up into 2, KRAS mutant and KRAS wild type, because that's a general breakdown. So first, KRAS wild type. So one of the things that we've seen is patients who are younger than 50. So pancreatic cancer is a disease, median age is about 60 to 65. But patients who are younger than 50, which is not that common in pancreatic cancer, but we're seeing more and more of it, they may have a higher chance of KRAS wild type tumors, and they may have certain fusions or some certain changes that may be, you know, open to clinical trials. So for example, we can see ALK fusions. Again, ALK fusion is common in lung cancer. We can see ALK fusions in pancreatic cancer in patients. Again, a rare variety, but when I'm talking about this, it's about a 1% in patients who are younger than 50. There's very interesting data on NRG1 fusions. So that's with the HER3 domain. It activates the HER3 domain, leads to dimerization with the HER2 domain and starts the pathway. And there are blockers of that, of the NRG1 fusions. There are HER3 blockers which are out there, which we've seen early activity in patients with pancreatic cancer. So that's a very exciting trial. I think we can find some NTRK fusions in these patients that we can target. So that's, you know, we have a lot of targets, BRAF sometimes. So we have a lot of targets in KRAS wild type pancreatic cancer. Granted, it's only 10%, but I think that's a target rich population for us, especially those patients tend to be a little bit younger. Now coming to KRAS mutant, which is the undruggable, which is harder. I think KRAS is going to be divided like a pie. Like in lung cancer, we don't say lung cancer, non-small cell lung cancer. We say EGFR mutant lung cancer, or somebody with ALK fusion, yada, yada, you know, things like that. But what we're in KRAS by itself, I think we can divide it. So the common KRAS mutations in pancreatic cancer are KRAS G12D, as in Delta, V as in Victor, R as in Romeo. So like the old DVR. So DVR, KRAS G12DVR, KRAS G12C is less. And then we see some of the rare ones like KRAS, you know, Q61H, some of the rare ones. But again, when we're looking at this as a pie, I think we can, there's some preclinical data coming out of our KRAS G12D inhibitors. So maybe we can have that. And we have some data maybe targeting KRAS G12R inhibitors. So that could be different. So again, we could target KRAS as a whole, or we could kind of divide this into a pie. Now, there are also some very interesting inhibitors like I said, they're direct inhibitors of KRAS, right? So you have the KRAS G12C inhibitor, and potentially we could have KRAS G12D inhibitors, but there are also other inhibitors called SOS inhibitors. So what happens is KRAS, to be turned on, it has to be phosphorylated. That means it has to be phosphorylation of the target for it to be activated. And this, there's something called a SOS inhibitor, which blocks the phosphorylation. So it locks the KRAS in the inactive state, so it cannot be activated. So there, those trial that we are doing at my center, I'm the PI, at least from my center, on one of those trials, in which we're combining a SOS1 inhibitor with a MEK inhibitor, with trametinib, and we've, which preclinical data has seen responses in KRAS, mutant xenograft models. So we're doing the dose escalation in patients right now, combining SOS and MEK. There are other inhibitors called SHP2 inhibitors, which are trying to inhibit KRAS, so the KRAS pathway, in combination with other agents. We have a trial at MD Anderson also looking at binimetinib, which is a MEK inhibitor, with hydroxychloroquine, which we didn't know pre-pandemic, but we all know about hydroxychloroquine now. But what the hydroxychloroquine does out here is it's an inhibitor of autophagy, which may be a mechanism by which the cancer cell grows when you block MEK in the KRAS. Mutant pancreatic cancer. So what we're trying to do is we're combining binimetinib and hydroxychloroquine, because there have been other groups which have shown that we can see responses in KRAS mutant cancers. There were a couple of publications in Nature Medicine before. So again, it's very exciting. So KRAS wild type has these kind of direct inhibitors, but in KRAS by itself, we are also looking to block KRAS at the source, and then phosphorylation of KRAS, trying to lock it in the inactive state with the SOS inhibitors. Also downstream, in which we're trying to do a combination, let's say, about this MEK and hydroxychloroquine or some other MEK. So there's a trial with trametinib, hydroxychloroquine. There's a trial with ERK inhibitors. So the pathway is RAS, RAF, MEK, ERK. So the pathway, we're blocking the ERK inhibitors, and we're trying to do autophagy at the same time. So there are a lot of different pathways. One last thing I'll talk about is the direct inhibitors of KRAS. So they're siRNA or small interfering RNA, which can be direct inhibitors of KRAS. And they actually can be given directly into the tumor. So for locally advanced pancreatic cancer, there are some trials going on in which those siRNA or small interfering RNAs are directly being given into the pancreatic cancer through endoscopic means. So really cool stuff, which I think is like Star Trek kind of stuff, that we are really, can we go into with an endoscopy, and we can really give the direct siRNA into the tumor. At MD Anderson, for targeting KRAS G12D, we have something called iExosomes, in which we put the siRNA into an exosome. And exosomes are just present all over the human body, and they're just transportation vesicles, which transport things between cells. And we put the siRNA into the exosome, which is against KRAS G12D, which is the most common KRAS in pancreatic cancer. And we're infusing it into patients. And we started the phase 1 trial about a few months back, and we're in the dose escalation phase right now. It's a really exciting time for our patients with pancreatic cancer, in which we're trying to kind of target it in different ways, come up with the KRAS protein just puts definite roadblocks in our way, and we're trying to overcome those roadblocks.
What is your final takeaway message regarding targeted therapy in pancreatic cancer and the future of this space?
Yeah, the final takeaway is I think there's a lot more happening in pancreatic cancer. There's a lot more exciting discoveries and exciting targeted therapies coming down the line. I would encourage everybody to get their sequencing, definitely germline. And if it's appropriate, after discussion with the physicians, and for physicians to try to do the next-gen sequencing, because you might identify those patients, needle in haystacks, who can really benefit from who are KRAS wild type and have some actionable alterations, which lead to a good response. In addition, for the KRAS mutant patients, there might be clinical trials that they may be eligible for. So I think the future is bright, and really looking forward to the next decade and beyond.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field and recaps from our State of the Science Summits and Institutional Perspectives in Cancer webinars. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.